Shalom Aleichem. Boy, oh boy. Obviously not a Jewish crowd here today. Allow me to introduce myself. My name is Zechariah. Now, if you were Jewish, you would quickly recognize that my name has special significance. You see, my name means the Lord is legendary. My life story, like the life story of so many people, is not really about me. It's his story. The legendary things that he has done for me and for all people. You see, the Lord chose me, still can't believe it, chose me to be the father of John the Baptizer. The chapter in his saving plan that I had the privilege of playing a role in. Well, when I started it, I was an old man. James aptly puts it, I was years. You'd call me a senior citizen, the kind of guy you'd give a gold watch to and put safely in the custody of his wife. I was also a man of the cloth, a priest from the division of Abijah. You see, in our religious system, there were 24 orders or divisions of priests, and these divisions would take turns carrying out the duties of the temple. Each division would serve twice a year for 1 week from Shabbat to Shabbat, 8 days, from Sabbath to Sabbath. Now, Elizabeth, my better half, was the daughter of a priest. And so that means that both of us came from a long line of church workers. Now, Luke, in his gospel, he says concerning us that we were upright in the sight of God. And I think that's kind of funny, considering my age. I mean, I am not near as upright as I used to be. He also says that we observed all the Lord's and commands blamelessly. Now understand that that does not mean that we were perfect or sinless. Goodness knows, far from it. What it means is that our faith was more to us than just a going through the motions, like it seems to be for so many people today. Our faith wasn't just a part of our life, something that we thought about once a week whenever the Sabbath rolled around. Our faith, serving God, it was our life. It was everything. And Elizabeth and I, we truly enjoyed our life of service to God. There's only one great sadness in our lives. Now, in our culture, being barren is considered a curse. Some even feel it is punishment for past sin. I remember women who used to snicker behind my wife's back out in the marketplace. You can imagine how much that hurt. She cried herself to sleep more nights than I can even remember. For years, we prayed that God would have it in his mercy to give us a child. We prayed and we prayed and we prayed until it just didn't make sense to pray anymore. We weren't going to have a child. We couldn't have a child. You know, there's a lesson you can learn from me in this. I quit praying for a child. With the time that had gone by, I had thought to myself, either God doesn't care or he's not listening. And you may feel that way at times too, that your prayers are wasted, that they're not being heard, that God isn't going to answer. My friend, don't believe it for a second. Let me tell you what the Lord did for me. See, one day, I had an opportunity that I had been waiting my whole life for. I was chosen by lot to offer incense on the golden altar in the holy place. Now, I had been dreaming of this ever since I was a kid. And as you can imagine, I was excited, but also a bit apprehensive. I mean, this was an awesome opportunity, but also a heavy responsibility. So I was careful to carry out the rubrics of my duty meticulously. I spread out the coals on the golden altar. I placed the incense just as prescribed, and soon the smoke began to rise. You know, it's a beautiful picture, isn't it? Our prayers rising up to God. The Lord tells us that those prayers smell so sweet to Him. Because, you see, He loves it when we trust Him enough to open up and share whatever pain or struggle or hurt is in our hearts. If only I would have remembered that a little more often. Well, then it happened. It happened. The angel of the Lord standing on the right hand of the altar. Awesome, glorious, brilliant, fearsome. Do not be afraid, Zechariah. His first words to me. Only it was too late. Don't be afraid. Are you crazy? I was terrified. And yet, isn't that the exact words that the angel speaks to every believer when he appeared to them? Do not be afraid. You know, I think it's funny that in my mind, I knew that I had nothing to fear, that God is gracious. And yet, in that moment, in the presence of the holy angel of God, when I needed my faith the most, it's like I forgot everything. Have you ever had that happen to you? Well, I'll never forget what the angel said next. He said, Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. You and your wife Elizabeth will have a son. Your prayer has been heard? Wait a second. Lord, do you know how long ago Elizabeth and I had stopped praying for a child? We quit. But obviously the Lord did not quit on us. My initial response, Lord, how can this be? We're old. And why now? I mean, we're too old to have children. And yet, what I should have been doing is marveling, right? That God was about to end. Are there things that you have given up praying for? Things that you feel God just isn't going to answer? Well, look at me, and let me assure you that prayer, it has definitely been heard. And it will be answered in one way or another. The angel went on to give details about what kind of man my child would grow up to be. Now, not too many parents get that opportunity, do they? And he specified 8 things. I remember them very vividly. He said, first of all, that my son would be named John. John means the Lord is gracious. That seemed appropriate. He would be a joy and a delight to me and Elizabeth. He would also be a cause for rejoicing for many others because of his birth. He would be great in the sight of the Lord. He would never drink wine or any other alcoholic beverage. Instead, he would be filled with the Holy Spirit. He would bring many of the people of Israel back to their Lord. He would restore family unity and concern for righteousness in this world. And last but not least, he would go ahead of the Lord. Get this, the Messiah in the spirit and the power of Elijah. Think of it. My son was being given this awesome mission. He would be the one who would prepare the hearts of God's people for the coming of their Savior. For the next weeks and months, I dreamed of what I would teach my boy and where I would take him. But you know, the angel, even though that boy was mine, had made it very clear that he was to be dedicated first and foremost to the Lord. And you know that's true for your children and grandchildren too. Now, I wasn't sent here today to tell you that your son has been called to be a pastor someday, or that your daughter will teach Chinese as a foreign language to assist our missions. But your child, your children do belong to the Lord. Have you thought about encouraging them to serve the Lord in the full-time ministry? You are willing to make the sacrifices necessary to have that happen. You know, in my day, you would have to be a descendant of Moses' brother Aaron if you were going to be a priest. But it's not like that today. Today, the Lord takes mechanics kids and office workers kids, and he makes them his faithful ambassadors. Wouldn't you be proud if one of your children grew up to be an official ambassador of the King of Kings? I hope you think about that, pray about it, and talk to your children. Certainly not everyone is to be a full-time worker in the church, but at least we should all be thinking about how we can serve God, whatever it is we do in life. But of course, I digress, don't I? Back to my story. So how do you think I responded to that angel? You would think that a mature believer like me would have high-fived that angel and hightailed it out of there and told everyone the good news. I am ashamed to say that's not how it played out. I doubted, and I questioned the angel of the Lord. In my heart, I said, no way. And before I knew it, it came out of my lips. How, Lord, can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is already well along in years. That's something else you can learn from me, isn't it? Never be too old or too practical to believe that God can do great things. You know, whatever God says he will do, no matter how big or awesome it is, God can do it. There is nothing too hard for him. Think about it. He fed our people 40 years as they walked through the wilderness. He even raises the dead. You know, I think this is a mistake that we too often make in life, that we shortchange ourselves because we think that the arm of the Lord is too short to do what we desire. Just think what we've missed out on in life because we didn't have enough faith to ask God to do the big things. Speaking of big things, the Lord was merciful to me. He could have withdrawn his hand of blessing because of my doubt. Instead, his angel put me in my proper place. I am Gabriel, he said. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. But now you will be silent and you will not speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at the proper time. I guess I deserved that, didn't I? You know, I have no idea how long this took. But the people outside the temple were becoming a bit anxious. Where is this guy? Is he okay? Did he have a heart attack? Little did they know. When I went out, I didn't really help them with their anxiety very much. I mean, you can imagine the situation. Here, a priest of God who has seen an angel of the Lord, and yet I'm speechless. A new father-to-be, and I can't even share the good news. I was bursting inside, and I couldn't say a word. Do you know how inconvenient it is? When a priest loses his voice, I was supposed to speak a blessing over the people as I sent them off. They probably felt I had forgotten the words like some rookie. All they could do was make motions until they finally understood, kind of, what had happened. I should have known. I should have known that when God says that he will do something, he's going to do it. You know, we even have an idiom in our Hebrew language. It's called the future, a prophetic future. Basically, we talk about things that God is going to do in the future as though they have already happened. for you today would be kind of like saying, those Green Bay Packers, they have won the game over the Texans, even though it hasn't happened yet. But so sure you are of that victory. So sure we are that God, when he says something, he will do it. You know, the Lord has made many powerful and beautiful promises in his word, promises to you. Hold on to every one of those promises. God loves it when you do that. Speaking of keeping his promises, Elizabeth did conceive, like the angel said. And it's then that we received, it's even possible, greater news. You see, she was in her sixth month, and her cousin Mary came to visit. And she shared her amazing story. You see, the angel Gabriel had also appeared to her. And he told her, get this, that she would be the mother of the Messiah. That the boy conceived in her womb would be the son of the Most High God. Mary, our cousin, we had been waiting for this for centuries. And I couldn't believe it was happening right now before our very eyes. The day came, the big day when our child was born. My son, can you believe it? My son, my dreams come true. He was everything the angel had said. I might be a bit biased, but I don't think I've ever met anyone quite like him. Jesus would one day call him the greatest man born of woman. On the eighth day, we brought him to be circumcised. We had all our relatives, cousins, nieces, nephews, our neighbors and friends all joined us too. This was a big day. This was the day that my son would enter the covenant and he would receive his name. Now the others, of course, they wanted to call him Zechariah in honor of his old man. But Elizabeth corrected them. She said his name is John. Now, they were confused, of course, because there was not even a single relative among us with that name. And so when they asked, I set them straight. I took out an old wax tablet, and I scribbled what have been called the first words, written words of the New Testament. His name is John. John. The Lord is gracious. What a perfect name for the child who will grow up to prepare the way for the Savior. You know, someone once said that the Bible is written because of sin, and yet grace flows out of every page. I had no sooner put down that tablet, and I began to feel this tingling in my throat. And my heart began to race, because I knew that my tongue had been unloosed, as the angel had said. And not only that, I was filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I was able to speak for the first time in more than 9 months. What would I say? What song of praise would I give to the Lord? I was overwhelmed. Overwhelmed. Not just because of the birth of our long-awaited son, but also because of the words that the angel had spoken to Mary, what was about to take place. I kept thinking about Mary's greater son. The prophecies. I remember the history of my people, the longings of our hearts for all those years, the calling out of the prophets of the Lord, the scriptures, and God's repeated promise that he would send a Savior. Here, our greatest longings, our greatest prayers were being answered. The one who would fulfill every human need was coming into this world. The inspired song that I sang, it's called the Benedictus. That's after the Latin translation of the first word. Benedictus means blessed. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, I sang, for he has visited his people and redeemed us. Blessed. We're really the ones who are blessed, aren't we? That God would send his son to be our Savior. that God would become one of us to redeem us from our sins? This is what Christmas is really all about. True peace on earth. God and sinners reconciled, a great and mighty wonder. Joy, joy to the world. Zechariah, the Lord is legendary. He keeps his promises and he hears our prayers. He heard my prayer for mercy and yours. He sent his son to be your Savior, mine, the Savior of the world. Who can keep us from singing his praises? Now, I was quiet for a long time, but not anymore. In fact, I invite you to open up your hearts and join me now as I sing once again this song of praise to our legendary God. Please stand as we sing. God, we are so grateful that in your mercy and grace, you have kept every promise that you have made to your people, that you kept the greatest promise of all, the promise of sending your Son, our Savior, into this world. As we go through life and the struggles that we face, sometimes the prayers of our hearts, the longings and the desires that we have, as we pray them out to you, Lord, sometimes it seems like you don't hear and you don't answer. And yet, we know, because we've seen it over and over again throughout the Scriptures, that you do answer. But you answer in the way that is best for us. Sometimes that answer is yes, but sometimes it's no, because that's what's best for us. Sometimes the answer is you just have to wait just a little bit longer, like Lord, you made me, Zechariah, wait. But it's all part of your plan to bring your blessing to us. Help us to trust you, to pray to you with all our heart, to pray for the big things, and to know that you will always hear and you will always answer. We thank you, Lord, that you answered a prayer of ours, that our teacher Jeff Wetzel would remain with us as our teacher and minister here at St. Paul's. We pray now for Wisconsin Lutheran School. We pray that you would guide and bless them as they continue to reach out and seek a man who can serve them. We pray that you guide the right man to him, the man that you have in mind. We pray these things in your name, and we also just take a moment to thank you for the opportunity this weekend, for the Living Nativity, the opportunity we have to share the good news of your salvation with people. We pray that it would strengthen the hearts of everyone who attended and also plant the seed in the hearts of people who do not yet quite understand the truth of your love and grace in Christ. and then give us opportunities, both as individuals and as a church, to continue the conversation, that the seed that we planted might continue to blossom and grow. Jesus, in your name, amen. Thank you.